Is this week is Parshas Vayechi, and the Or HaChaim has. So I do apologize in advance because about half of the Or HaChaim's commentary in the Parsha is on the Birchas Yaakov, on the blessings that Yaakov gives his sons. So, in the interest of time, I skipped all of it. I didn't even look at it. We didn't have time, so I'm not. We're not even going to touch that at all. Okay. Now, last year I noted that the Parshas Vayechi begins telling us, for example. Yaakov lives in Egypt 17 years, and it tells us the years of his life, 7 and 40 and 100. And the days of Israel were numbered, and they came closer to dying, and there you go. So the question, which the Aksav HaKabbal did not look at, was Yaakov, Israel, which one, what's the story, when do we know, is there a theme, etc. He did not, but the Or HaChaim begins the Parsha looking at exactly that. So if you look at the first page, which I gave you, the entire first page is a lengthy comment which he has about the difference between Yisrael and Yaakov. So, okay, so we're not going to look at the Pesukim more with regard to that. I just want to jump straight into the Or HaChaim. The Chumash right here. So we're just going to jump straight into it, and I'm going to skip a little bit around just because normally I would have loved to highlight this, but I did not have the time. So I will just direct you in terms of knowing where we're going. Okay, so just start at the beginning. Achein, Lios, She'anaf, etc. So you'll see at the end of that line, he says Shabbat so b'shem Yisrael. Okay, and so what's the definition of b'shem Yisrael? B'chinas kedusha elyona. Okay, one thing is an upper level of holiness. When you see Yisrael, the Or HaChaim says, there's something going on in which Yaakov is touching into his spirituality, okay, in a higher level. Skip a couple of lines, you'll see the same thing, a similar idea rather, but a related idea. Utam Nishama Yisera. You see it? Okay, the middle of the fourth line. Nishama Yisera, that's a highlight. Okay, that's another notion. Okay, again, related. Kedusha Elyona, Nesham Yisera means an extra soul. It's similar to what we describe as our body having on Shabbos. Okay, and he actually even mentions Shabbos. If you look at the line before and the line afterwards, where he mentions Shabbos, Yom Shabbos Menucha, Lekar LeShabbos Oneg. Okay, you see these ideas. Two lines later, after Nesham Yisera, you see Nesham Elyona, Baal Hashem Zesh El Yisrael. Okay, that's the idea. Nesham Elyona, an elevated spirit. That's what the name Yisrael denotes. Skip to the next line. Okay, so in other words, there's a completion of holiness and purity that comes with the name Yisrael. Okay, in summary, good times, holy times, elevated times, spiritual times, that's what Yisrael denotes.
Does that hold up?
Okay, so that's going to be your homework. He's convinced of it, and so he explains, and he actually does do us the favor of saying, hey, look, where there's an inconsistency, I'm going to explain it. Or where it seems that there's an inconsistency, I'm going to explain it.
No, okay. When did he use Yaakov when it shouldn't be Yisrael according to Yaakov?
Right, or the other way around. Okay? Okay, so we'll see some of those. Okay? Right. Now, so at that point in time, I wrote in my notes that there's a break, and he starts talking to, read that next line. Uvehader Kane v'inafesh. Vayinafash, rather, Vayomash v'Shavas. Vayinafash, what's Shavas v'Yinafash? That Shavas is the resting, that's the Shabbos. And Vayinafash means when it's over. Yotzami menuk yitzias neshama yisera shal yom Shabbos, uvos hazman lo yikarei lo Yisrael. Right, when the neshama yisera leaves, it's not Yisrael anymore. In other words, it's now
Yaakov.
Okay, so that's the thematic idea which we're going to get to. Skip a few lines. Again, I'm just doing this in the interest of time because I want to get to the other stuff, but I thought that this was important. So if you see the line, there's a comma, and right before the comma it says Mibachinas Ha'etze V'Hayagon. Do you see it? Okay, everything else should be, because I move things a little bit, it's going to be, let's see, Etze V'Hayagon. Yeah, it's towards the end of like the 10th or 11th line. Okay, there's a comma before the last two words. Ve'ershom lecha. Okay? It's right over here. Two lines above, there's a parenthesis that says Bracious Rabbah, Parsha Pei Beis, right above that. Okay, Mibachinas Etzev Ayagon, he says that's the definition of Yaakov. Yaakov is when there's sadness, sorrow, that's when you find the name Yaakov. Okay?
We're going to get it.
He says, so now I'm going to give you a proof. I'm going to show you a few examples, and you'll see how this works. Okay, but in other words, the point is, it's not just, you can't just look at it, Yisrael versus Yaakov in the text and say, oh, that doesn't make any sense. You have to understand the theme, and then once you understand the theme, he says, you can apply it. Now, I've done a little bit of research of this over the years. Every person, every mefarish, every commentary who tries to create a theme, it doesn't work 100%. It's just, that's the story. I mean, it is what it is. So you can challenge, and I can't give you an answer for if you find an inconsistency. But he is honest and says, I have a few inconsistencies, and I'm going to show them to you, and I'm going to explain to you why they're not. Okay, that's the way he does it. So let's take a look. Tchila, tchilas divar tov Hashem or whatever it is, divar tov Hashem beparshas vayishlach. Amar elav shemcha Yaakov. Diber Tov Hashem. Okay, what Hashem said to him, when God says to him, your name is Yaakov, right, that's when God's going to say to him, your name is Yaakov, but it's not going to be Yaakov anymore, it's going to be Yisrael. Perush, az yeshmo Yaakov, letzadshu az, ba'avelus imo, right, remember the rabbis had said, this is right after he finds out that his mother was dead, because Devorah had died, okay, so that's how he knew that his mother was dead, so he was in Avelus. So God says, your name is Yaakov. Why? Because now is a stinky time. That's what Yaakov means. Yaakov is a stinky time. Shamru, ki omro ba'ivarech oso, yichavein ha-berchas ve'elim. When God blesses him at Beis El, God's giving him nicham ha-ve'elim. Okay, he's comforting him for the death of his mother. L'tzad zeh yikrei shemo Yaakov. And that's why his name is Yaakov. Zetim tzash v'cholos ha-parsha, karash shem shemo Yaakov. And that's why in that whole section in Beis El, he's called Yaakov. Because he's in mourning for his mother. So it doesn't matter that he's having this amazing connection with God. But who cares? Somebody, their mother passes away, you can give me all the spirituality you want. Bottom line is, it's garbage. I lost my mother. So that's what it is. V'gam b'zman yisas Rachel nikra shmo Yaakov. Also when his wife died. Also pretty rotten time. Right? Dichsiv, v'yatsev Yaakov matzev al kurosa. Yaakov puts a matzeva monument over her grave. And then after the mourning period passes, again, it's not to say that gap in his life is ever gone, but you know, you have to move on from mourning. Then it says, Vayisa Yisrael. Yisrael traveled. Bishkon Yisrael. When Yisrael dwelled, lived. Yisrael, that's when he gets to Shechem. Right? Until the Dina thing happens. It's good times, right? Then the Dina thing happened, meaning he's passed certain aspects of the mourning. But so that's an interesting question. I don't know the exact chronology. This would seem to be arguing that the Dina story is this would seem to be saying that it's after. Devorah's death is before Dina, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe that's what it is. So he's throwing in Rachel, which happens towards the end of the Parsha. Rachel happens towards the end. So Vayishkom Yisrael is after the death of his mother, and then he's dwelling and he's moving on with life. Okay, so that's probably what he's referring to. And then they're called Bnei Yaakov. Okay? They're called Bnei Yaakov. So, Yesh Chodas, ki kishayu abonim b'madregah psucha, Tzad Maaseim, Agam Shavis Kanev B'Shem Yisrael Haim Yiskunu B'Shem Yaakov. Yeah, it says Bnei Yaakov is them. They're not so good.
Because of Shechem? Because of Maaseh
Shechem? So it could be. That's a very interesting question, just in terms of how we understand Yaakov's relating to that story. So that's a different homework assignment. I'm being honest here. How is he viewing Yaakov's reaction?
It's my view. I mean that Yaakov's literally means, you know, doing things by subterfuge, not being directly active, not taking care of things, being sneaky.
And
Bnei Yaakov, when they attacked Shem,
that's a very good insight. So that would follow. That would follow, right? Because there's Mirma and there's Mirma. Right. We talked about Mirma, but fine. Okay, but the point that I just found as a teretz that he's giving is that when he, the man, is Yisrael, but his children are called Bnei Yaakov. So the answer is, it's Bnei Yaakov, because it's referring to them, not referring to him. Ubamasha lefaneinu, so now he's coming to Parshas Vayechi. It's at Ma'aseh Shoya Sha'asa Ruvain. I'm sorry. It's at Ma'aseh Shoya Sha'asa Ruvain. Karlam Sham B'nei Yaakov. Right when it's near the story of Ruvain with Bilhah. So they're called B'nai Yaakov. Again, because it's just, it's whatever the story was, whatever the explanation for what Reuven did, it was a negative experience. Vayavo Yaakov, Yitzchak Aviv, L'tzad Shai, L'fnei Yitzchak Aviv, Lo Nog Ba'akos V'ashura V'agdula. So here's an answer again. It's a teretz. Why is he called Yaakov when he comes to Yitzchak? Okay. Right, you want to say that when his mother dies, he's Yaakov because it's a tough time in his life. Fine, but now he's with his father Yitzchak. This should be a good thing. He says, nah, because now he's in comparison to his father. And lo yafeh, to call him Yisrael in relation to his father. Okay?
Where does it meet his father Yitzchak in the cover?
Toward the end of Parshas Vayishlach.
Toward
the end. Before, the end of Parshas Vayishlach is... He gets the name Basel, in Basel, then he meets his father. His father's death is described, and then shortly thereafter, it lists the lineage of Esav at the very end of Parshas Vayishlach. Okay? Even though Yitzchak's story ends there, but Yitzchak doesn't die until 10 years before Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim. Okay, so basically a year before Yosef gets out of jail is when Yitzchak dies. All right? So he quotes a midrash in Tehillim, which explains why the avos they don't really have a relationship with the grandchildren.
Why?
You know, because like how could Yitzchak become the next of the avos while Avram's still alive? Yitzchak kind of finds himself after his kids are born.
Moshe Yoshua, I guess.
No, no. Well, not Moshe Yoshua, but I, you know, this is an interesting insight that I saw a number of years ago. The Imahos never met each other. I mean, except for Rachel and Leah, obviously. But Sarah never met Rivka. Right? Rivka is brought into the picture after Sarah's dead. And Yaakov and Leah, Yaakov's bringing Rachel and Leah, and he finds out about his mother's death before he sees her. So they never meet their mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Okay, which is just, you know, it's a similar kind of, I would imagine it's a similar kind of idea. Anyway, skip to the period. So the Sharara, in other words, this idea of leadership, the idea of being on the top, is something which is given to Yitzchak, and while Yitzchak is alive, he is Yaakov. Certainly in the presence of his father, he is Yaakov. Okay? So all the time in Vayeshev, when he's called Yaakov, Rabbi Yeshev, Yaakov, Beretz Begurei Aviv, Beretz Kanaan, Eil told us Yaakov, right? All that. Zulasib is manim muatim, Mashir Hashem HaKasbem, Shem Yisrael, Kiyomro, Yisrael, Ahavis Yosef, right? He tells us that Yisrael loved Yosef. Oz Hayasameach, Wuchan Beliyetz, with the Kroos of Shem Yisrael. When he's relating to his favorite son Yosef, then he's Yisrael. But otherwise, you know, his sons are giving him all kinds of tzaras, dinas, tzaras, there's all kinds of negativity. And from the time that Yosef is sold, he is not called Yosef except for three times. What?
He's not called
Yisrael except for three times, and those three times are Perak Mem Gimel Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Yisrael Lama Hari Yosem, Vayomer Yehuda Yisrael Aviv, Vayomer Elihem Yisrael Avihem. Those are the three examples. They're all in Perak Mem Gimel. That he was raised above his sons who were saying, Dad, we need to bring Binyamin down. Dad, it's got to happen this way. And he says, excuse me, who's in charge? Who's in charge? And so in those moments, he's Israel. They need to understand who's in charge. When it comes to the life of Benjamin, Umeis is bras for Yosef. Tchi ruach Yaakov, and from the time that he gets the information that Yosef is alive, Yaakov's ruach comes up, and then v'nachal ruach Hashem v'teichem arakasuv v'yomer Yisrael. So Yaakov, who's down in the dumps, all of a sudden gets a reinvigorated spirit, and then who does he become?
Israel.
Israel. Okay, and that's the difference. And so what do you see in the Psukim there? Vayomer Israel, Vayisai Israel, Vayomer Elohim Yisrael, Vayomer Elohim Yisrael, rather. Achen is Baser Begalus, the Kiba Elav HaShever, Chazar Likra Yaakov, Zulas Beis Asher Nigla Elav Yosef, Lerova Simcha Gdula Kina Hashem Osoba Shem Yisrael. Okay, so when he's told in Be'er Sheva that you're going down, and don't worry, I'm going to take care of you, well, guess what? Galus. He's being told you're going to have exile. So what is exile?
Yaakov.
Down. So the name Yaakov makes a reappearance. Until he's once again in the presence of Yosef, and then he's Israel. Ya'al Likras. I'm sorry, did I skip something? Right, Yosef comes towards Yisrael's father. Yisrael, Yisrael says, "Amusa apam." Okay, when he sees Yosef, says, "Oh my God, now I can die because I just feel so amazing." We shall veelach lo nikra od shem Yisrael kol yemei Yosef eretz Mitzrayim ad yom shigia eis lechtol elamo. So you don't see Yisrael for the rest of the time that he is in Egypt until our parsha begins, when it's time for him to go back, when it's time for him to get closer to die. Because what does it mean he's getting closer to dying? Where's his neshama going?
Back home.
Back home. So
going home. It's an aliyah, it's kedusha, neshama yisera. That's why Yisrael can make an appearance. You have a, Yaakov and Yisrael. Which one is it? It's good. Okay. So he says, okay. Okay, so that's all that I gave you, right? I didn't give you any more. Okay, the point is that if you want to see, there's a little more. On this booklet, which I have, it's about 8 lines in the Aruch Chaim, you could see a little more. But the point is, all right, so we move on. Let's take a look at the next point which he makes. So turn it on to page 2 in your booklet, and we're at the top of the page, okay? Mm-hmm. So again, we're still in the pasuk of Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shvas Rishonot. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you what I am going to do or what I'm not going to do. Okay, so a lot of what he's going to talk about now is a series of number games that he's going to be playing, because the pasuk told us Vayechi. Let's look at the pasuk for a second, everybody. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim Shvas Rishonot, 17 years. Vayechi Yemei Yaakov, and the days of Yaakov were Shnei Chayav, the years of his life. Sheva shanim, 7 years, v'arba'im, u'me'as shana, and 100 years. Okay? So 147. So now you look at that pasuk, and you heard the way that I read it, and you say, wait a second, this does not flow so nicely. Certainly doesn't work in English. And there's a much simpler way to say this than the way in which it was said. And that's the point that he's going to be making in asking a series of questions and in giving us a number of answers. And in the end, if you look, did I give it to you yet? No. Okay. Well, we'll get to it soon. Okay. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Yisrael. Or Chaim says, "Tzorach l'das. Lamu tzorach l'mar mashachoya be'Eretz Yisrael." You need to tell us he lived in Egypt. We know this. Number 2. The od kasha lo yitzorach l'mar elavayhi yimei Yaakov the goymer kuf mem zayin. Right. It's just say Yaakov's days were 147. What do you mean? Vayechi yimei Yaakov shnei chayov. I mean, just tell us straight out. Vani yedelach v'yachesbon ki shvas reishanochay. And I know that he was in Egypt for 17 years. Thank you very much. Skip to the end of the next line. You see the word od at the end of the third line. Od lamu tzrich lamar shnei chayav. V'lo speak lamar v'yimei Yaakov. What does it need to say? The years of his life. It already said the days of his life. It's the same thing. V'ulai ki letzad shekol yimei Yaakov lo nach v'lo shakat. Maybe it's because Yaakov never rested, was never, he didn't have such a quiet life. Ki mishen nolad, nolad tzitno. From the time that he was born, his satan was born with him. V'adayin lo shakat shimsho. Amad Lavan ve'elam Moshe v'laralo. So Lavan was gave him a tough time. Ve'acharav hukam al tzara shel Dina, and then he had a difficulty with Dina. Ve'odlo, and then soon after that, ve'yavo rogaz avedas Yosef, and then Yosef was sold. And of course, in between all that, as we saw before, the death of his mother, the death of his wife. Hu shamar kasev vayechi Yaakov eretz Yitzrayim yudzayin shana. Elu hayu chayav v'lokada.
So he started living at 130.
He says that Yaakov's life was, forgive, I'll tell you, it was pretty rotten. It was a difficult life. V'samach l'zeh amro, v'ayhi yemei Yaakov, shenei chayav, l'mos shehein heina, hayu yamav shehayu lo bahem chiyus. Where does Yaakov have a real existence? V'ayhi yemei Yaakov, that the days of Yaakov, perush osam yudzayim shana, shenei chayav. Okay, it's the 17 years.
That's it.
It's pretty miserable, right? Perish Hayolo Behem Chaim. That's when he had. That's when he had Chaim.
Somewhere I heard that there was another 17 years that were good, and that's why Vayechi ends up to 34.
Yeah, Vayechi. Also, the word Chayav. Vayhi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav. The years of Chayav. It's the same thing. You're right.
20.
No, 34. No, the first 17 years that he was with Yosef.
All right.
Okay, and these last 17 years when he was with Yosef. That's a good word. You're right. Okay, but he's saying no. It's just 17 years.
Wow.
That's his life. Od yirtzal derech Amram, call me. Shesof yom av betova, ki ilu kol yom av betova. What an amazing idea! Says anybody. All right, thank you, Rabbi. All's well that ends well. Okay, a rotten life that has a good sunset is a good life. That's what the what's this. Tana de Veilio. Vuhu ta'am. Vuhu reish yischav achrisecha. Okay, pasuk in Iyov. Gam omro and kvalas tov achris tavar. Right? Like you said, Rabbi Kosevsky. All's well that ends well. Vuhu amro vayechi Yaakov chaim shal shalva be'eretz Yisrael. He had an amazing life in Egypt.
Wow.
Right? Can you imagine? Finally has all the sons. He sees that even Yosef is a good from Jew. Right? He's got grandchildren with Yosef. That is, it's just bliss. His existence in Egypt, rather. Okay? Zayab Enev Shayu Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav Perish Shanim Shel Chayim Kol Yamav Shehem Zayin Shanim etc. V'gomer Zayin Shanim meaning 7 years and 4 years, you know, of the 7 and 40 and 100. Tam Amor Vayhi Lashon Tzar Yichavein Lamar Shagam Shel Yomav B'Tzar Afi Chayin Chazur Be'enav Liyos Kulim Shel Chayim. They end up being years of good. From the fact of the matter that at the end of his life was good. Okay? Now, he asks a question. The next question which he asks is, why are the years presented this way? If you go back to Parshas Vayishlach, and I'm not asking you to turn the page, I'll find it real fast. So the way that the years are presented to us are the other way. When Yitzchak's death is described, the pasuk says, Yitzchak me'as shano shmonim shana. It was 100 years and 80 years. When the Torah describes the death of Abraham, it says, "Yemei shnei chayei Abraham asher chay me'as shana v'shivim shana v'chamei shanim 175." So, in other words, the mea, the 100 comes first. In Yaakov's case, what do we have first? 7, and then 40, and then 100. So that's the question which she asks: why are things flipped around? Okay, odi chavein akatsu. You got it? That's the part which I put in small. Okay, so I'm not going to read it inside, but I'm going to tell you this, that what he says is that Yaakov's, there's another way to look at Yaakov's life. And he says that, he may Yaakov, shenei chayav, sheva shanim v'arba'im. Okay, that Yaakov's, like, the better parts of Yaakov's life, yes, 17, the last 17, but the better parts of Yaakov's life were a sum total of 47. 7, and 40. The mayups, it's like, forget about that. Forget about the 100. 7 and 40. And how does he get this? So if you just want to see, fourth line, he says, I made it smaller, so it might be a little smaller. Yeah, the first word on the fourth line. He says, when you add the number of days that he was with Rachel, okay, and the years that he was with Yosef, you're going to get 41. How do you get that? So that he explains it. 20 years he was in Laban's house. Take away from those the first 7 before he married Rachel. So how much do you have that he's with Rachel?
13.
Okay, that's the Yud Gimel which you have there. Yeah. Then somewhere in the middle of that, Yosef is born. So from the time that he is with Rachel, from the time that Rachel dies after the 6 years that he works for himself. Okay, and Yosef, when Yosef is sold, is 17. So it's not exactly clear. There is an overlap. There is an overlap between the death of Rachel and the years that it gives to Yosef. But assume that Rachel dies shortly after they leave Laban's house, certainly before, you know, he gets home completely, and you have 11 years. Okay, so it could, because Yosef 17 years minus the 6 years of his overlap with his mother, so you have 13 plus 11, that equals 24. Then you add the final 17 years that he's in Egypt, which is 17 years, so 41. That's 41. That's the number that you get.
So then
the last thing which he describes here, and I honestly don't know what he's talking about, but he says here, V'sheish shanim shahayad, you see it it's like a third of the way into the second to last line. V'sheish shanim shahayad Yaakov b'peutos, shem yamim shalev sameach. So Yaakov was in in Pu'utos. I don't know what Pu'utos is. So there were 6 years when his heart was happy. So you add that to the 41 that we had prior, and you have 47. Okay, so that's where he gets
from. What happened to the 22 years in Shem Ve'ezra?
That's 14 years.
14 years.
And that's not counted.
He's running away from Lavan.
That's not counted.
Right? He's
no, he's running for Esav. But anyway, we're not counting. Okay, so that's the first thing that I wanted to show you. The next thing that I wanted to show you is 47 years of happiness that he gets there. Okay, and he says that's the reason why the Torah gives it backwards, because it's telling us that Shnei Chayav, that the years of his life were Sheva Shanim V'Arba'im. Okay, and leaving aside, but if it said that the years of his life were 147, then you wouldn't be able to make that mathematical equation. Okay, you can like it or not like it. I'm just giving you the Arachayim. Don't kill me on this. Don't shoot the messenger. Why does it say Vayihi? Vayihi is Lashon negative. Okay, so what does it mean? It's showing us that Yaakov did not live all of his designated years. Remember when Lavan comes along and says, "You stole my idols," and Yaakov says, "Whoever stole your idols, lo yichyeh, will not live." Okay, be'echris chayei Rachel. What happened as a result? Rachel died because she was the one who stole the idols. So the fact that Yaakov was the cause for his wife dying as quickly as she did after that encounter, nechts lo yomav miminyan shnei Yitzchak. So he lost a number of years from the similar number of years that Yitzchak had. There's a Kabbalah that we have that all the Avos were supposed to live to be 180. The only one who made it was Yitzchak. And the pasuk which I actually just read about Abraham, we saw this last year. Remember, Ayu Yemei Yaakov Shnei. I'm sorry, Ayhi Abraham. What is it? Asher Chai. Okay, whatever. The years of his life that he lived. So what is Asher Chai that he lived? He was supposed to live 180, but he dies early. Everybody says, why did he die early? Because Esav was going in the wrong direction. So he dies 5 years early, which means that Avram lived, of his life that he was supposed to live, 180, he only lived 175. Okay, so Yaakov also was supposed to live 180, and he lives 147. So what does that mean? That he loses 33 years. What's the gematria of the word? Lo yichyeh, yichyeh, yichyeh.
Yeah, it is 18.
I'll tell you, it's 33.
Wow.
Okay, so that's what he says. Lo yichyeh. So what happens? Shayu kufpeh. Kufpeh was supposed to be 180. Lamed gimel shana. Kaminyan yichyeh. So he lost 33 years from yichyeh because he says, lo yichyeh. You're not going to get yichyeh. Well, you cursed. He said that about whoever stole the truffin. Lo yichyeh will not live.
Okay?
Yeah, double. And he loses 33. That's what he's saying. Okay, now I actually, when I read this, I was thinking, you know, it's interesting. We don't know how old Rachel was. There are different, you know, theories. Seder Olam has one view. It says she was 36 when she died. I think that there's that view. But I wonder if Lo Yichyeh, you know, would the Orach Chaim suggest that Rachel, when she dies at 31, which is entirely possible. It's entirely possible because Yaakov, from the time that he meets Rachel until the time that she dies, is basically 20 years, right? According to the Orach Chaim. Maximum 22 years. Okay, because he meets her, and by the time that he's back to his father, it's 22 years later. That's the question, right? So he comes and he says to Lavan, I want to marry your daughter, but I want to marry her in 7 years. Why? Because she's a little kid.
Didn't stop his father from marrying a little kid.
You mean Rivka?
Rivka was 3.
Ah, according to one view. Don't get me started. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's one view. Another view that she was closer to 14. That she was 14. So, you know, he says, look, I like her, but I'm not a pedophile. I want to better at least reach the age of bearing children.
The math works. The 33 works. Wouldn't you include the Lamed Aleph also from Lo? From Lo
Yichyeh? No, Lo yichyeh. Does not get Yichyeh.
That's
how I think he's explaining it. Zerum Zatorah Tzarchis Ron Shnei Atzadik B'Tevas
Vayhi.
And so there's a hint through giving us the word Vayhi, which is Lashon of negative, the word Vayhi Yemei Yaakov, that Yaakov's days were negated by a number of 33 years. Okay? So... okay, so now the next question which he asks is, you know, usually in the two examples that I gave you before of Abraham and Yitzchak, we're told their age when they die. And here, Vayechi Yaakov, Yaakov lives, and the days of his life are 147. Hold on a second. Yaakov lives through half of this parsha. So what do you mean? Why are you telling us how old he is now? He's not dead yet.
Yeah, he's not
dead. Right? Take a look.
I don't know how long he lives
after this. Right. Vinishala says Tamakaz Lamy Kodum Shigizman Ali Pater. Right, he hasn't died yet, so why are you telling us the numbers? Kin Kharoa, Kiakashmanakas Vayimakova Marakharov Masayash Ashbas Yosef. So after it tells us his age, it has him swear Yosef, right? Make Yosef swear rather that you're gonna bury me, by Akhar Kachamar, by Yachar Advari Maila, by Akhar Advari Rai, by Yomal Yosef. Yeah, some time more passes, and how much time passes? We don't know. Right, we're told Yaakov is 147 now. How old is he at the end of the Parsha? And we assume he's 147, but honestly, I never thought about it, but we don't know. How much time passes from when he tells Yosef, swear to me that you're going to bury me in Canaan, and when Yosef is told, your father is sick, you better go over to him. And Yosef brings in Ephraim and Asher. We don't know. The Torah doesn't say, it doesn't tell us how much time has passed. Should tell us how old he is when he dies. We like, Yaakov just had an intuition and a feeling he's going to be dying, and that's why he calls Yosef. So Yaakov is doing the cheshbon himself. He's doing the math himself. He said, my father lived to 180. I messed up my wife, I killed her by saying lo yichet, yeah, that she shouldn't die, and I know the gematria yichya is 33. Man, I'm dead. That's what Yaakov's thinking, the Arachim says.
Did he find that she stole the truffle?
You know what, I was thinking about it when I was reading through this, and I was thinking, you know, they're going to bury Yaakov, they're going to bury Rachel. What are they going to do next? They got to go through her stuff. They got to divide up her stuff or sell it and get rid of it. What do you think they're going to do? I'm sure they must have found the trophy.
Yeah.
Unless she ditched him somewhere. But how much time passed between, you know, I don't know how much time passed.
Wow.
Between Lavan not finding them and Rachel dying. Well, she must have gotten, well, actually, no, she could have been lying to him. She says Derech Nashimli, which we assume that means that she was menstruating, but she could have been lying.
Yeah.
Right, she says that, right, and that's
check,
right. Right, but I gotta assume that they found it, yeah.
Good stuff.
It's basically passed over, but I'm always thinking.
All right. So now look at the next paragraph. Over there, Chermes is by Arkasuv. The Mashadi Elohim Bechinas Yosef, Kiu Amashbir, Vushazan Vechia Amrav, etc. So what do we get here? Skip to the next line. Let Sheyakov at the comma. Sheyakov Zan Upirnes is Yosef Yudzayin Shana. Remember, Yosef was 17 by the time, when at the age when he was sold, which means that Yaakov took care of Yosef for 17 years. And so he basically says, if you, right, so you're, did you see that already?
No.
Yeah, he says that at the end of the three lines later. He says, Ki kol echad eitiv mispar tov. But basically what he's saying is that Yaakov took care of Yosef for 17 years, and what does Yosef do at the end of life? The end of Yaakov's life, also takes care of his father for 17 years. So he's just talking about how things come full circle, and like you said, Kiminyan Tov, like the number 17. And that goes back to what Abe said before, whether you look at the word Vayechi, or you look at the word Chayav, which both are the Gematria, it's the same letters, both are the Gematria 34, if you like the numbers game, then you say, oh, you know, Yaakov had a special thing, Yosef 17 on one end, Yosef 17 on the other, throw in Rachel's life in between all that, and maybe you're going to get to. Honestly, that's really all you have to do. You just have to think of it that way. Yosef, that's 34. Throw in the 13 that he said before with Rachel, even though there's an overlap, and there you have 47. So there, you know, that's an easy way to think of it. Okay, all right. Okay, all right. We'll do. So this is the last one. This is the last one in this paragraph. Parak, so remember the pasuk tells us, second pasuk in the parsha, Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael Lamus, so the days of Yisrael are coming to die. So again, Yisrael Lamus means he's getting closer to God. That's the Or HaChaim's perspective. Vayikra Livno Yosef, he calls Yosef. Vayomer Lo, I'm in the pasuk, folks, I'm in the fourth line of the Chumash. Vayomer Lo, and he says to him, Imna Matzah Sichem Beinecha, if I found, Imna, whether it says if, or Na, as I now, Matzah Sichem Beinecha, I have found favor in your eyes, Simno Yadacha Tachas Yerichi, you're going to place your hand on my thigh, or whatever that means. I'm not even going to get into that. I want you to do with me kindness and truth. Do not bury me in Egypt. So Chesed Emes, this is a source for the idea that what we talk about as burial being called Chesed Shel Emes. Okay, that's where we get this idea that Archaim actually has an interesting question, which we're probably not going to look at. But he says, wait a second, Chesed Shel Emes, doesn't Yaakov give Yosef Shechem? Doesn't he give him like a Bechorah?
Yeah.
So what does it mean he gets nothing out of it? He gets a lot out of it. No, he's going to give it to him anyway. So don't look at it that way. Anyway, Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael. Kvar Kasafti B'Samach Minyan Yeda.
Where are you?
I'm in the Archaim now. Middle of page 3. Middle of page 3. Okay? Okay. No. Two paragraphs above where it says perspectives on death. Okay? Kvar Kasafti B'Samach Minyan Yeda. Ramban Kasaf Shigadah B'Agash Asafisas Kochosav. Okay, what is Yada? Yada is 70, 84. I'm not sure what that means. Okay, Afizos Kochosev, that he felt that his strength was gathering and it was done. The Ein Dvarav Zal Nirim Ki Kama Yamim Yechi Adam Achar Sheyischil Lichalesh. He says that's not a very good answer because sometimes a person can start getting weaker and they can live a long time. They can live a long time. Od Yesh Lamar Ki Yigish Ma Dvarav Mashe Yaru Adam Kodem Mosal Derech Omram Zal Sefer Azor. He starts quoting a Kabbalistic idea that Shloshim Yom Kodem Mosal Mavir Nimenu Atzelim, that 30 days before a person dies, the shadow, the image of God is removed from him. That Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai presumably felt the tzelem leaving. So the great righteous ones know the spiritual things, and they feel like, wait a second, there's something missing. I just lost something. That means I'm really near the end. And so he has a very, very, very lengthy comment, which I did not give you, but it is in my page here. It's an equivalent of a full page. You can see it's all of this and goes on to the next page. So you have the source if you want to look it up. But I did give you two of the last paragraphs in that section, and that's the part which is in bold. Okay, so we're gonna just skip. Well, we're not. I mean, it's here. Where he just talks about what death is all about. What is death? How should one perceive death? How should one anticipate death? How should one, I don't want to say fear. How should one embrace it? It's part of life. Okay? So he says...
Okay,
I'm not sure that he says celebrate, but he does say that it's something to prepare for and to understand that it's just the next step. So now we can see what we see. When a person gets older, his understanding could get less. Even somebody who's very smart, towards the end, just can't do it the same way that one perhaps was once upon a time able. The smart to agar shasav, and his feelings are lessened. Agam Shamruzal, Ziknei Torah, Da'atam, Yisyashim Alehem, that those who are elderly with Torah, that their knowledge, Yisyashevis, how would you describe that? Like it settles?
No.
It settles, okay. Dikdikulamar, Yisyashevis, Lishlol, Da'atam, Shal Ziknei Amaretz, Shem Yistarefis, Ula'olam Koach, Asachlivis, Boni Yefes. This is basically understanding, cognitive ability, it just gets less. Well, if he akdama here, Hashem, I am a devarze. He would say, "In istalku kol chalkei nefesh, in koch muat hanishar lasos kashir akol gam lo samir agufi yechabed ksaso aksaso letzad miut hamanik vazan shi'a nefesh v'yishuv kedas katan v'yashuv kedas katan." He said, "Yeah." He says that when a person is getting closer to the end, things are just essentially deteriorating. I mean, that's what he's saying here, to the point that a person might even return kedas katan, right, to a point of being like a child. Okay? Sad, right? It's sad. I've seen people say this about, again, people with unfortunate, mental conditions. I'm not going to say Alzheimer's is a different thing because a person's, in a sense, gone. But there are certain aspects of dementia or certain aspects of just deterioration which could reflect that.
Is Yaakov the first person to go through this? Like Avraham Yitzchak went to the
well, tomb? I'm not saying that he's saying that Yaakov is like a child. I don't think that that's the case.
So is he the first one who felt like his time was come?
Yeah, no, I mean, the idea of getting sick is certainly Yaakov is... Well, I mean, we saw Yitzchak. Lo yadati yomosi. Yitzchak says that. That's why he wants to bless Esav at that time. But it's not so much that he's sick, he's blind, but he's thinking about death because he's close to the age that his mother died. And I actually did the math, and something else is fascinating. It's not clear, but it all happens in the same year. In other words, the year, the same time that Yitzchak gives the blessing to Esav and to Yaakov, you know, in the other order, and Esav sees that his father and mother don't like the Benos Kanan, the Benos Chiti that Esav had married. So Esav goes ahead and he marries the daughter of Ishmael. Okay, now do the math. How old is Yitzchak at that time? He's 123. Okay, it's you do it. He's 123. So how old is Ishmael at the time? Anybody? He's 14 years older than Yitzchak. 14 years. He's 137. How old is Ishmael when he dies? 137. Okay. So in other words, does Ishmael die? He just dies, and Yitzchak saying, "Look, my brother just died, so I might be dying." Okay, that's one possibility. Or does Ishmael die because Esav marries his daughter? that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question, but it does all happen at the same time. So there is that. You know, there's another thought which may be going through Yitzchak's mind, which I don't remember if I saw any commentary make that insight. But to me, it makes a lot more sense to say, "My brother just died. Who knows if I'm next?" Than my mother died at 127, and now I'm 123. You know what Rashi says? That within 5 years, you have to think about it. The problem is that Yitzchak's 123, not 122. So I like the Ishmael idea better. Anyway, that's just me. Okay, so second paragraph, Gama Akdamazu, Hirvachnu Kavanas Mamarazal, Sha'amru Ma'bein Misas Zakein and Lemisas Narim. He says, what's the difference between the death of the elderly and the death of the young? So he actually doesn't talk about the death of the young, so we're just going to look at the death of the elderly. He's Yafel Aner v'Yafel Apsila, that the Misas is a Canaan. When the elderly die, it's good for the candle and it's good for the wick. Adkan, what does that mean? Him Shilo Misas Azakein Laner. The rabbis compared the death of an elderly person to a candle. V'chashem Shaner Holechum Ismael. Just, you know, what does a candle do? It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's good. And what does it do at the end? It's fighting, right? It's fighting, and then it goes out. The soul is basically gone by the time the Zakein dies. And he says that what should happen? I mean, halavai, that should be the blessing, right? That the person doesn't feel it. For everybody else, right, to die peacefully. For everybody else who's watching, it's, you know, it's a struggle. We see the person suffering. But do we really know what the person is going through? I don't know. Okay, maybe the person's struggling for breath. Maybe, unfortunately, I've seen people die. So, or I've been close to it, seeing them in the last 12 hours before they die. And I don't know what they're feeling. Because unfortunately, in all the cases that I'm thinking of, the person is non-communicative anymore. So we don't know what they're feeling. What?
He smiles. The person who died often smiles.
Okay, because they're at peace. All right, so there you go. I mean, I just, so he, you know, he goes, this is, he has a lot that he talks about in this realm, and it's something to think about.
So much standing on the other side of the bridge.
Okay, all right. So we move on. Okay, now let's get into something a little more exciting, a little more grammatical. Okay, so what does Yaakov do? No, this is not my way, by the way. We've gone through three psukim in the parsha. Okay, two psukim. Okay, vayikrabu yimei Yisrael amuz vayikra livno li Yosef, and he calls to his son to Yosef. What's the Arachayim going to do? He's going to say, sorry, we don't need these lamids. We don't need the lamids, and we don't need both. But you think we don't know who Yosef is? And if you tell us he called his son, there's only one son who can help him here. Who's that son?
Yosef.
We know. So what do we need these extra words for? Vayikra, and he calls to his son, to Yosef. So the Arachaim's point is, look in the third line of this paragraph. Nira, in the middle, Kival Kazal says Tam Lakriya, Echi Kare Hedyot Lamelech. So first it's telling us how could a non-royal, right? Yaakov's not a royal. Who's the royal down here? Yosef. So how could he call the king? So right, and what else do we know? That the honor of the king is preferred over the honor of his master, even the honor of his father. Now in this particular case, now in most cases, a royal's father is
royal.
Also a royal. But in this particular case, he's not. So what's the answer? So skip now to about five lines. Okay, it's probably the next page. Okay. So it's the fourth line down. Okay. It's really the end of the last line, but the Torah is giving us two ta'amim b'davar, two reasons for this. Ha'echad ha'yosef, no. One reason why he's calling him is because he's his son. The ha'beis ha'yosef, Yosef, because he's Yosef. What does that mean? Ve'achem ne'hein aloya speak l'groso. For one of these reasons alone, he couldn't call him, because it wouldn't work. Im loya b'no. If the guy who he's calling, okay, and we know who the guy is, but I'm saying if the guy who he's calling is not his son, it doesn't matter that Yaakov is a tzaddik, Yaakov can't call this dude who's a king. It doesn't work. Why can he call him? Because he's his son. And what's Yosef chayavin? Kibarav, right? He has to come. That's number one. And if he was his son, and he wasn't also a tzaddik, meaning Yosef wasn't also a tzaddik, he wouldn't call him. El tzada Yosef b'no, v'hu omro liv knows. He has to call him because he's his son, but he also has to call him because he's Yosef. Gam liyosef Yosef, ayedua b'tzidkos, ayedua b'aflagas, abas ha'avlo, because who's Yosef? Yosef atzadik, Yosef the guy who is going to do everything for his father, Yosef the one who is the king in Egypt. So everything that is defining him as Yosef, and everything that defines him as son, both of those things are qualifications that are needed in order for Yaakov to, in order for him to do it. And in so far as the question of Melech Shemachal Al Kvodo in Kvodo Machal, right, a king who wants to, you know, push aside his honor, he's not allowed to do that. So where does that apply? Where does that rule apply? That rule applies to the Melech Israel, a king of Israel in Israel, but it does not apply to a guy who happens to be a Jewish king in a not Jewish country. Okay, so his kvodo is machal. He's allowed to set aside his honor for Ritzon Aviv to fulfill the will of his father. And that's the end of the paragraph I just summarized before you. You can read it on your own if you like. Okay, so now we're going to move on to some of the more fun stuff that everybody loves to talk about, and that is the relationship between Yaakov and Yosef's sons. So let's skip to the bottom of the page. Okay, the pasuk says, after all this stuff, we're on the same page in the Chumash, 268, chapter 48. Okay, so it's the same page. Yosef is told your father is sick. And he takes his two sons with him, as Menashe and Ephraim, and the Torah tells us who they are. And it's told to Yaakov, basically, and he says, whoever he is, that's the person who's telling Yaakov, says, your son Yosef is here. And so that, again, that's the homework. Mm-hmm. Yaakov is told, your son Yosef is here, and Yisrael strengthens himself. So how did Or Chaim explain that? Why is Yaakov? Because he feels kind of miserable. There's nobody here. And then he hears that Yosef is here. Oh, okay, now I can feel, first of all, dignity, right? The king is in town. Now I can feel like I can die because I'm going to be able to tell him what I want to say. Remember, Yisrael is Kedush Yisrael. That's how he would explain it, presumably. Okay. Yeah, but what's he doing? What's he talking about? El Shaddai Nirai Lai Beluz Be'eretz Kanan by Yivarech Osi. So Yaakov is talking about Galus. And what else does he talk about?
Good things,
right? Let me tell you, Yosef, about when your mother died. That was a pretty miserable time for me.
Okay.
With all due respect, Abe, that's not such a good thing.
But that's all the way down, though.
Okay, but he was planning to mention it. He was planning to mention it. So it's just a deterioration. Okay, I think that insofar as how the Or HaChaim is gone, we can explain it. Okay, so Shnei Bonavimo, Okay, so what does it say? Yosef took Eshnei Banavimo, Es Menashe, Es Ephraim. So what do we need? The word S all these times. Why does it say S? Why does it say S? Okay. So the Orach Chaim asks a bunch of questions. Tam Shalois Pibon Eshnei Banav, Ani Odeh Ke Menashe Ephraim. Why does it say, it mentioned he's bringing his two sons. I don't know that it's Menashe and Ephraim. What are the two sons? Olomar, or just say Menashe Ephraim, Ani Odeh Ke Banav, or just say Menashe Ephraim. What do you need to tell us that there are sons? Harshum and Parshas Mikates. We know that Yosef has these two sons because they were told to us in Parshas Mikates. Between telling us that Yosef takes Eshnei Banav Imo with him, obviously he took his sons. Or we say Vayikach Eshnei Banav and Asher Ephraim. We don't need all these extra words. Gam Amro Esbeis from him. Ulai. So here's the answer after the period. We're on the third line. Ulai. That the reason why Yosef is taking them is that each one should get a bracha on his own. Milvad aside from what he's going to be giving them together. So what's Yosef doing? He's taking his two sons with him. Why? Because Yosef is expecting a bracha for Yosef. And what's that bracha going to be? It's going to be that you, Yosef, are going to become two. You're going to become two. That's the bracha to you. And Imo, so Menashe Ephraim are with him. So basically Yosef seems like he's anticipating this on the one hand. But aside from that, Yosef is saying, that's the part which should come to them in his own bracha, right? What Yosef is getting, gam es Menashe sheyivorach b'fnei atzmo, but he also wants Menashe to get his own bracha. There's Ephraim, same thing, and he wants Ephraim to get his own bracha. Yes, you guys are me. You're basically becoming me. But I also recognize, meaning Yosef recognizes, that Menashe is his own person and Ephraim is his own person. So they can get the bracha as Shnei Banav, as his two sons, but they can also get brachas as Ephraim and as Menashe, or you know, in the reverse, in the other order. Yeah, and I don't know that there's such a big chiddush in that pasuk. But he's explaining, I think, in a nice way, what seems to be extra words, and they become non-extra as a result of that. Okay, now one of the things that Yaakov says to Yosef is, after he tells him that Ephraim and Menashe are going to be like Reuben and Shimon, if you turn to page 270, any other children that you may have, right? Yosef, you're still a young, relatively young guy, you know, you can still have more children. Any other children, which now we don't know if Yosef had any more children because they are never mentioned to us. But Yaakov is saying, "Hey, look, you know, if you and your wife aren't done, and how many grandparents? If you and your wife aren't done, then guess what? Any other children which you may have? You know, that's interesting.
Yeah,
Asher Holadata.
That you keep
bringing.
Past tense. Yeah.
So maybe Yosef did have other children. Okay. L'chayihu, they're yours because Ephraim and Menashe are mine. Al shem achayhem yikaru b'nachlasam, so they become part of the tribes of their brothers of Menashe and Ephraim. Which one they get joined to? He doesn't really spell that one out. But okay, so let's take a look at the Orach Chaim. Orach Chaim has a number of things on here, and basically, I mean, the rest of what I gave you is on this segment more than anything about Yaakov's relationship to Ephraim and Asher. So we'll get through as much of this as we can. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so let's take a look at the second line. V'yesh lanu lachkor. You see where I am? Yeah. Towards the bottom, the third to last paragraph of page 4. Why does Yaakov take Yosef out of the Shvatim? Out of the count of the Shvatim? In other words, what Yaakov does is he says, Yosef, you're gone, but in your place I have Ephraim and Menashe. So, Shvatim and Levi, right? With Ephraim and Menashe, they become 13. You know, when we get the magic number 12, often Levi disappears. Sometimes, though, we see that Yosef is counted, right? Ulu Yosef Amar. Remember Moshe at the end of his life? He gives a bracha to the Shvatim. He doesn't give a bracha to Shimon, but he gives a bracha to Yosef. He doesn't divide it up into Ulu Levi Amar, right? Ulu Yosef Amar. So sometimes it does work that way, but more often you see Ephraim and Menashe, and Levi is number 13. So he says, why don't you have Ephraim and Menashe? Let them be two Shvatim. No problem. And you, Yosef, are also a Shevet. Yudal Shvatim Levi, Keshem Amar Lov Shimimenu Beis Shvatim Nosafim. Lo Shiyakar Shem Yosef. God said to him, you're going to have two more Shvatim. Not that, and God never said, get rid of Yosef and replace him with Ephraim and Manasseh. Let him be one too. God, and why can't it be that the rest of Yosef's children, whatever they, whoever they were, will be Shevet Yosef. Shevet Yosef. And then you have Shevet Manasseh and Shevet Ephraim. God talked to us, Mi Amar Liyakov, Ki Beis HaGoyim She'amar Lo Hashem, She'yum Mimineinu, Heim B'nei Yosef, V'lo B'nei Shabbanov. And who told Yaakov that the other two nations that are going to come are from Yosef's children and not from anybody else? V'yoser ha'yel l'slos v'lomar, She'em Peretz Zerach, She'em B'yoter Me'ulim, Fiyem Hashem Shalshel Samlucha. Right, if anything, Peretz and Zerach, right, Yehuda has a son, Shewa. That's the tribe of Yehuda. Peretz and Zerach, they are from royalty. They should perhaps be their own tribes. Like Bnei Yehuda Nirmiz B'Mashe Amar Lo Od Sham Hashem Umulachim Mechalatzecha Yitzei. That maybe Peretz and Zerach are referring to Melucha. We know that David, for example, came from Peretz. We see that from the end of the book of Rus. El Mi Yamar Shemas Hashem Omro Umulachim Mechalatzecha Yizos. But who knows if that's what it's referring to? Right? You look at the kings of Israel, for example. They're from a bunch of different Shvatim, including Menashe, right? Yerav Menavat was from Menashe, but there a bunch were from Ephraim. Right? You have those numbers. V'yod Acheres Dilma Heim Heim Goyu Kal Goyim Heim Hamalachim. Right? Maybe some of these children are Goy, right? A nation. Kehal Goyim is referring to kings. And who is to say that these blessings that were given to Yaakov in Beis Hill were referring to other sons of Yaakov? Okay, Mashan Askel Dvar Bori Shamari Lob and Avua Goyu Kal Goyim Yemimakum Lachim Chazakab Pshat Dvar Yagid Shal Yaakov Omer Shemimenu Yetzu Lomi Banav. So he says that the Pshat, the simple understanding of the bracha that's given to Yaakov, is that these nations are coming from Yaakov, which basically means that they're included in Yaakov's tribes and that they're not specifically assigned to the children of Yaakov's tribes. So therefore, all these theories which we just threw out, Peretz, Zerach, or wherever else, is not accurate. And because it comes from Yaakov, and so Yaakov is the one who can decide that, you know what, I'm going to divide Yosef up. But, Yeshal Das, Mamar Amzal, Ki Yosef hu b'chinas nefesh Yaakov. So here's the answer. And I found this to be fascinating. Fascinating. Fascinating! Okay? Why? What does he say about Yosef? Yosef doesn't disappear. Who's Yosef? Yosef is Yaakov. Yosef is Yaakov. Okay. Right? By Yeshev Yaakov, Eretz Ben Gurei Aviv. Ela told us Yaakov.
Yosef.
So what does he say? Look at it. Vusharam has a kasuv. I just said that pasuk. Ela told us Yaakov. Yosef. Vuomaro, Bnei Yaakov Yosef. Atilim in Atilim Ein Zayin. Says the children of Yaakov and Yosef. What do you mean Yaakov and Yosef? Yaakov and Yosef? Same thing. What do we know about Yosef? The Midrash says that Yosef was exact same thing as Yaakov. Everything that happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef, right? He left his father for 22 years. They had the same face, both born circumcised. They both left their father for 22 years, right? All these, a whole bunch of stuff are talked about. Ramzu chachmei emes, ki hi b'chinas miloy avav, shamiloy keos atzmo. I'm not sure what the miloy avav is. Sometimes Yaakov is spelled with a vav. Maybe that's what it's referring to. Alpiyak damazu, yisiyashu kol adiktukim. Yosef hu b'chinas Yaakov. So now we can understand all these little precise questions that we had. Yosef becomes Yaakov. Umadregas av l'shvatim yikarei. Kirshom gam kem b'omro b'nei Yaakov v'Yosef. As the pasuk in Tehillim says, the sons of Yaakov and Yosef, so Yosef is considered to be the father of the shvatim. Huh? Huh? Well, if Yosef is the father of the shvatim, then Yosef's sons are?
Are
shvatim. Okay.
Truth is, he supported them. So okay. I guess maybe from that perspective.
Okay, right. Okay. Look, if he's Zek, Shamar Shem Yaakov, Shiatz Menu Od Banim. So when God says to Yaakov, you're having more children, or more children will come from you, Zeh Yaakov, Zeh Yosef. Well, Zeh Lo Yilush Anavu B'Shar Banav. That prophecy didn't go to any of his other children because Yosef is B'malei Makom Aviv, right? He basically becomes his father. Right? What do we say when somebody dies? That the child has to fill the shoes. Well, I mean, Yosef is saying, fill the shoes in more ways than one. Zedik de glamar beiz benecha, liheim. That's why Yaakov says, your sons,
mine.
My sons, they're mine. Perush madregas b'nei Yaakov, love madregas, but they're not my grandsons, they're my sons. They're just like Reuven and Shimon. Wow. Reuven and Shimon are my sons. Menashe and Ephraim are my sons. So now Yosef becomes one of the Avos. Okay, right. Who are the Ushpizin?
I was just about to say that. Yosef is one of them.
Why? Teretz, that's the answer.
Wow.
And so that's why Yosef can't be counted at the same level as Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim and Menashe are Yaakov's children. Yosef, therefore, higher level. And he can't be there. Moshe and Yaakov, just like Yaakov is not. Who's going to say Yaakov should be one of the Shvatim? Nobody. Okay, so therefore Yosef is not one of the Shvatim.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay, and again, he's bringing proof. Don't forget the pasuk. Ela told us Yaakov.
Yosef.
And don't forget the pasuk in Tehillim Ayin Zayin. Okay, so that's what you have to remember. Tehillim 77. All right, next. So Yaakov tells the story. Ani bevoimi padan. Okay, we're almost done. We're going to go through just a couple more things, and then we'll finish. We're not going to do the very end. Okay, Ani bevoimi padan. So we're going to skip to the paragraph Achen. So the third paragraph on page 5, meaning counting the first mini paragraph. Okay, third paragraph. So he says l'fi ma'ash birashti. So Yaakov tells Yosef what happened when Rachel died. So when he's telling Yosef that the children who've come to him are these, meaning including Ephraim and Menashe, he's telling him the story about when I came from Padan Aram and Rachel died. Why? That is crazy! He says the reason why Ephraim and Menashe didn't come from Yaakov is because why? Because Rachel died. Yaakov was allowed to have more Shvatim. He had to have 12. Right, Rachel, we assume she was pregnant by the time they left. Okay, so they were all conceived outside. But Yaakov was allowed to have more Shvatim. The only reason Yaakov didn't have more Shvatim was because Rachel died. And why did Rachel die? Because Yaakov said, Lo Yechyeh. Okay, so he says, Rachel died a lie, meaning it was my fault. Like the rabbi said, Shesha Nidro, that he made that neder. Okay, Yaakov says, it's my fault. All I had to say was, if you find, we'll punish whoever did it. But he said the person is going to die. And had Rachel, if Rachel had been alive, then that's how he would have those other tribes. V'yachshav yotzu miYosef. So instead they came from Yosef. Shu b'chinas Yaakov gam b'chinas Rachel. Because Yosef is Yaakov, we already saw. And obviously he's Rachel, because that's his mother. And that's who Yosef is. Ah! Okay. Od efshar. Sheneskaven Yaakov l'ratzo, says Yosef. Also Yaakov may be trying to mollify Yosef. Al asher sivev misasimo, because he says, look, I feel terrible guilt. I deprived Yosef his mother. Kodem zmana, right before time. V'yamar, I mean, can you imagine what kind of life Yaakov had, where this is the guilt that he's carrying? Yosef's gone, and I'm the cause that his mother is dead. I mean, unbelievable. Kita masher hechshiv beis banav kiru shimon l'tzad kimeis alav rachel v'karav misasa. That the reason why he takes Yosef's kids and says they are equal on status par with Reuben and Shimon is because Rachel died and he caused it. Even though he didn't mean to do this, but that's what happened. And so he's giving Yosef pause and reason to understand why he's taking the steps that he's taking in terms of putting Menashe and Ephraim into the elevated status that he is putting to them. Okay, now we could stop there. We could stop there, but I want to show you one more, and we'll stop after that. And that is the way that Yaakov relates to the sons. And we're not going to go into, you know, the switching of the hands and all that, but I want to, this it's a very simple question. And I do apologize that we didn't get to the end of the parsha, but basically after this chapter, I mean, he goes into the Birchas Yaakov, and as I told you, that is most of the Or HaChaim's commentary in the Parsha. So what do we have? Vayar Yisrael is b'nei Yosef, pasuk ches, he sees the sons of Yosef, vayomer mi'eila, and he says, who are they? Okay? Now, If we say that Yaakov's losing his mind, all right, that's fine. But at the same time, I mean, that's an easy way to say it. Another way to look at it is, and the question which he asks, Kasha, Valo Yitzayin Shana, Yoshel in front of Lumo Tayre, Ve'echshu Alayim. I mean, come on, yesterday, Yaakov, you were teaching them the Black Gemara. You don't know who these guys are? Okay? So I find what he says to be fascinating. And I might be reading it wrong, but I love it. I love it. Razal Amru Kiraba Amriya Sikhliis. Shasid Latseis Mem Rishayim. So the Chazal say that he saw in them something that they're going to be having wicked people coming from. Okay? That each one's going to have. Yeravim ben Nevat, right? Somebody's going to come out of them. Vized Derek Drash. He says, but that's Drash. That's not, I mean, come on. Okay, that's nice, but come on, seriously. What's Yaakov saying? But what's pshat? What's the simple understanding? So the first thing that we know about Yaakov is that his eyes are weaker; they can't see so well. So he sees two people. He sees two forms of people standing, and he knows he's talking to Yosef because he was told Yosef is here. Remember, mm-hmm. Right? He told him Yosef is here. So he sees two other people, but they weren't announced. Only Yosef was announced. That's a simple understanding. Okay. Odev Shar, this is the one that I love. That what Yaakov was trying to do was to awaken the love of the father for the child. Before he blesses him, so that the bracha that is coming comes from the strength of love and embracing. So, and that's why he says, "Who are they?" So he should hear from his son, who is beloved to him, Lamar Banayim. These are mine. They're my children. And so, you know, he could say that this is where they're coming from. Right, the idea that there's this connection. But I was thinking about it, okay, because I think that grandparents actually do this all the time. So Yaakov, you know, lahavich of anything we may have suggested before that maybe he's losing his mind. He's not losing his mind. Maybe he's losing his eyesight. Fair enough. But how many grandparents, right? The little, I mean, not that Menashe and Ephraim are little kids. Okay, they're not. They were born before Yaakov came down, and it's 17 years later. So they're adults. You know, they're at least 20. So so what is it? Which grandparents, they see their grandchildren and say, oh, who's this little? Who is this? Oh, who's this? And I like to think that what Yaakov is doing is he's playing around with his grandchildren. Who's this little tzaddikel? Come here. I want to give you a bracha, little tzaddikel. Who are you? What's your name? Tell Zadie what your name is. Tell Zadie. And maybe that's what he's doing. And because it's an endearment. Oh, Zadie, you know who I am. Come on, I'm Ephraim. Oh, you know who I am. I'm Menashe. Come on, stop joking around, right? And we know that sometimes grandchildren are like that when they see their grandparent as, in a sense, younger than them. You know what I mean? As a child, not that they don't respect them, honor them, revere them, but they know that the grandparent is, you know, is not the same that they once were. Okay, I certainly was guilty of that. My grandfather had Parkinson's and he couldn't talk and his mind was, you know, who knows, loved him, respected him as anything. But I didn't talk to him the way that I talked to him when I was younger, when he had his full faculties. So maybe there's a little bit of that element as well that's coming, that Yaakov is trying to bring out. Okay, I mean, the last few things which I gave you here in Pasuk Tes, it's also, they go back to the question of how many tribes. One of the words which you see there, Asher Nasam Li Elav Yomer Yosef Elaviv Banayim Asher Nasam Li Elavim Bazeh. That Yosef talks about how Zeh is a gematria 12, Bazeh gematria 14. But Zeh, Yosef is saying, I should have had 12 tribes. But then he goes into the midrash about what happened to Yosef and the wife of Potiphar, and why Yosef only had two children. Okay, we'll leave that for what it is. He talks about it anyway. So the last thing which we see is this relationship with Yaakov, and I think that last viewpoint which I'm extracting from the Orach Chaim. I'm stretching it. But I like it a lot because it's different, and it also gives a much better teretz for Yaakov, because Yaakov's not losing his mind. Maybe he's losing his eyesight. We can agree on that. But that he's actually very, very well aware of what's going on and what he's doing, And to give that feeling, you know, here are his grandchildren, they're basically going to see him die, but how can he leave them with a last, you know, that connection, that love, is through this game that perhaps he's playing with them. And they know the score, they know who he is, and it makes their relationship even closer. Halavai. So it's a nice, endearing parting lesson that we take from this episode in Parshas Vayechi.